What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome to the latest episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell and I'm joined by my co-host Mark Davison as always. Mark, how's it going?
Good, Matty. How's it going, Steeler Nation? This is our second show. Today we had the previous show, we had the breaking news with Lamar Jackson getting the old CB19. You know, it was a very cool opportunity to go on a live show with Matt and Bad. And now hopefully we're coming to you Saturday morning. It was an awesome experience. I need to check out my internet. I'm pretty sure kangaroos were around the bottom paddock and messing with the wires. So I've gone out and bought a laptop. On the way, I also killed two spiders. Like, everything's happened down here in Australia. It's all going on. It's all hot. It's big news breaking. We've got the Steelers 10-0. This is what is happening now in the land of 2020.
That's it, Mark. And yeah, as you say, it was awesome to be able to join Brian Anthony Davis Bowden on his live YouTube earlier today. And, you know, listeners out there, we're recording to you live from Friday afternoon, our time. We go live to you guys as always on Saturday morning, somewhere between 5 and 7 a.m. And it's great to be joining you on your Thanksgiving long weekend. And, you know, whether you're hanging out with the family, as you always say, you know, traveling to and from work, whatever it is that you're doing, thank you for listening to our show. Equally, if you're listening to us, you know, on Sunday where you thought you might listen to us for the game. And, you know, at this point in time, there may be a game, there may not be. We don't know. So I guess to give you guys a bit of an understanding of what we might be doing in today's show, as always, we're going to do our usual segments of Sling the Slang and Bold Predictions or Punt of the Week, that we like to call it, with that bit of Aussie slang. We'll look back at last week's game in this part one. We'll talk a little bit about, if the game is called off, if it isn't, what are the outcomes potentially there? We'll preview where we can about what the Ravens might be doing and where the NFL might be heading. But obviously, some of you might have already listened to the podcast or were live on the YouTube show that we were on with Bad about the breaking news. So, but look, lots to cover off. But as you said, Mark, I mean, breaking news, Lamar Jackson, COVID-19, you know, as Bad said on his podcast today, it doesn't matter that the Baltimore Ravens are our arch rivals. No one out there wishes COVID-19 on anyone else. We just don't. So I want to make that very clear from the get-go. I know there's been some heated live chats on the show we were on earlier today, which is actually for listeners now a couple of days behind for you with the time warp that is when we come to you from the future. It can be a hard one to keep track of sometimes. But yeah, we just want to reiterate whatever we say in today's show, it's not aimed and it does not take away from the human element that there are players' families and there's families of coaches and strength and conditioning staff and anyone around that organization and those facilities. And equally, the wider community in the US is suffering big time from COVID-19 at the moment. Very different landscape to what we are in Australia. So, you know, as I said, before we get into any discussions there, we just wanted to make that caveat. But equally, Mark, I mean, no Lamar Jackson, that is a massive loss for the Ravens. And if I think I read correctly, it doesn't look like there's any Calais Campbell, you know, either. There's no Mark Ingram, there's no Dobbins, you know, there's no Brandon Williams. We're now really starting to get to the bare bones of their roster.
And this is the point too, like you said, like we, you know, we take these things seriously. The whole world is taking this thing seriously. But at the same time, life can go on and we need to figure out what's going to happen with the game. Lamar Jackson could be out and, you know, almost 10 players might be out for the Ravens. We never face this as fans. So ultimately, I hope we do get a game coming up on Sunday, which is our Monday. And even when me and Matt find the news out tomorrow, we'll wake up at 8 o'clock and you guys had already probably known, because it will be that will be your 1 p.m. or something similar, because we get our news about a day late or half a day late. So, yeah, like I think in all things, we wanted to see the big game, Big Ben versus Lamar Jackson, and we wanted to put him under pressure and really push him to the pocket, force sacks, force interceptions, and beat him that way. We don't want to beat the team without it. But like I said in the previous podcast with Brian, I get this feeling that you've got to put players on the field and whoever wears number 41, 45, whoever they are. But the NFL wants the big stars, and that's where we're getting into a bit of trouble. And also, we haven't been through this. And there's actually another point as well. If they delay the game, there's a Cowboys game. There's so many options. So, you know, you and myself is doing best we can to try and figure all this out.
Yeah, that's it, Mark. And I know for anyone that listened live to that YouTube show or has listened back to that podcast of the show as well, I was sort of advocating there a little bit that it might be time for a forfeit. I, like anyone listening to this, do want to see a game. I'm absolutely going to caveat that. I think it should be whoever you can put on the field. But what I'm more disappointed with is that this is actually on the NFL. Like, yes, this week's game specifically is on the Ravens. It is. They had a staffer who did not adhere to the rules, did not follow the protocols, then, you know, tried to mislead or misguide or, and fine, I might be speculating there, but for whatever reason, didn't necessarily tell the truth about what they'd done. And that's affected the contact tracing for it to spread the way it has between players. At any point in time, someone's let the ball down there. But what the NFL, and I appreciate without the NFL, we don't have a podcast, we don't have an audience, but it has not been clear from the NFL about what constitutes a game being really forfeited. There hasn't been if you have this many players in this position, like I said on the show earlier today with that, you know, if you've got two quarterbacks out of your four quarterbacks on your roster, then you can't play. Or if you've got three offensive linemen, you can't play, or whatever it is. There's not enough criteria for my liking of what this means. And the problem with that is that whilst you can, I agree with you, Mark, because in Australian sport, if you don't have enough players, you find players from, you know, some of the younger teams coming through or from the free agents, or, you know, you might even do a trade between two teams, or in some of our leagues that don't have trades, there's, you know, roster mid-season transfers and what have you. But in the NFL this season, there's certain waiting periods between from when a free agent is acquired to when they can actually play with the protocol. I think it might be, it's either 8 to 10 days, I think, off the top of my head. So the problem is that if Baltimore doesn't have enough practice squad players, then how are they going to field a team? And in most leagues, in most sports or games around the world, if you can't field a team, you forfeit. Like, for instance, in the Premier League, if you can't field a team, you forfeit 3-0 if you don't even turn up. And that actually happened earlier this year for COVID in the Serie A, in the Italian Premier League. One team, it was Napoli, didn't want to travel for a game because they were worried about COVID and the league hadn't been clear on what was happening. 3-0 loss. 3-0 loss, straight on the table. So I know the NFL is about making money. We've had this game pushed. But if it's about making money, and if the Ravens are on the playoff bubble, Mark, my question is, why wouldn't they postpone this game and add the finals, you know, add the playoffs 1 week later and shift everyone up a week? Like, why wouldn't you have that? Imagine if the Steelers are, you know, 15-0 going into a final game of the season against the Ravens, who are like, let's say, something like a 9-5 maybe. Oh, no, sorry, 9. It'll be 9-6 or something like that, and they're on this playoff bubble. Wouldn't you want to see that build up? If not, and if you're going to just throw them into the playoffs, then this should be a forfeit. Because as I said on the show today, they are now third in the AFC North. It's not even like they're one game behind Pittsburgh. They're four games behind Pittsburgh.
I don't think there's any easy answer, because every time throughout that conversation you just had those discussion points, I'm thinking, well, yes, you can put the forfeit out there, but at the same time, if you forfeit, you know, COVID's just a natural thing that everyone has to deal with, right? So why should the Ravens have to put up with that? But they have these things in place to limit that. And then do you push? It's just so hard. Do you push back all those games to the playoff and the Steelers get hurt? I'm glad I'm not Roger Goodell and trying to organize the situation, because no matter what view you have, whether you want the game on or don't want it on, it's a hard situation. And right now I'm thinking about just sitting on the fence.
All right. Well, here's a question for you, Mark, then. Here's a question for you. Do you think, how far do you think we are? Is it a few other teams having games to explain? How far do you think, or, you know, is it literally the next one and they're going to decide this? How far do you think we are from having to have a playoff bubble?
Well, it looks pretty close, because if these things happen with the Ravens and it goes from four people to must be about nine now, then you need better protocols to get this NFL season intact. And even now, the point, like, Pittsburgh Steelers fans can't go to a game because there's different rules and all that kind of jazz. But yeah, it's such an idea that, well, you could have this one view, but then you might be annoying people's ideas of the other view. So, and this is what I think 2020 has been to a certain point, and we don't want to get too political and stuff, but that's what it kind of feels like. We want the game to play, but the Ravens like, well, we've got CV-19 people who can't play. Can you just wait? But I don't know. Steeler Nation, I do not know. I hope there's a game, but I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, right now, as of the latest article on NFL.com, which went live 7:44 p.m. Thursday night American time, I think it's Eastern time on this one, 10 players, 8 starters on the COVID-19 list. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, Trace McSorley, Jihad Ward, Pernell McPhee, Matt Skura, who's a central part of their offensive line, and Patrick Mekari, who also has been a key part of their offensive line the last few weeks. They're some pretty key players. I mean, they're some pretty key players. And, you know, there was one thing, Mark, that I was sort of thinking when we were talking with that, and I didn't want to raise it because I didn't know the technicalities, and I haven't actually had a chance in a couple of hours between us having that show and recording this one to check it out. But one thing I was sort of thinking, what if they pushed this game out to even Monday to give people an extra day just to try and see where the list is, and then they were able to move the Ravens' next game against the Cowboys, which is currently scheduled for a Thursday night, move that on. Like, I just sort of wondered where they could accommodate it, but I'm very interested to see what the NFL does, because there doesn't seem a lot of wriggle room here now that we've postponed it once already by 3 days.
Not at all. And then you could do that. You have the domino effect. So you move it again. You move the Cowboys game, who they play next. The Cowboys are still fighting for a division down there. It's very tricky. I like the idea of your point, like, just to forfeit it. Say the Ravens stuffed up, get healthy, take care of yourself, take yourself out of the game, everyone get healthy and come back in. That doesn't hurt anyone. You give away the loss, Steelers get a win, you get a loss, you move on with life, and then we get ready for the Washington football team. That's the biggest thing. Competition-wise, it's probably the smartest thing. NFL-wise, making their revenue and money and stuff like that, probably not, but that seems to be the play to get the moving parts going. If they're missing 9 players and there still might be a chance they could find more and they play the day, then what's going to happen?
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, it's an unknown. But let's put a big pause on that one, and we can pick up that Ravens discussion.
Talk some football.
we can pick up that discussion in part two, and we'll actually do a bit of a preview for you guys and talk about what it means, because, you know, the game could still go ahead, they could find players, all that sort of stuff. So last week's game, Jacksonville Jaguars, 27-3. I think I'd pick something like about 34, 36, 38 to 13, I think I picked. Mark, how are you in terms of getting close to the scoreline?
I think I was 28 to nil.
Okay, so you're pretty close.
Or 26 to nil I was, because I didn't think they wanted to score any points.
But yeah, that's right.
I was pretty on the money. I've been good the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have.
I just didn't think that Luton had the chance to push the ball downfield. And not even that, just getting into the red zone was probably the hardest thing. And they got 3 points off the first drive. And it was 3-0, and I went into the universe of Facebook, which I always do every week, and I saw some comments like, oh, no, we're going to lose. Nah, we're not going to lose. it was we rattled off like 26 points or whatever, and then we got the win.
That's it. Look, for me, I have to agree with what Ben Roethlisberger was saying in the post game. Like, if you know, they left some points on the board, but equally, I agree with Tomlin. Like, he was, as he was saying, it wasn't a game that they were going to go in and just like, they're getting every team's best shot, right? They did the right things on defense. They did enough on offense. They looked pretty good. They went down to Jacksonville. And the thing is that people keep talking about it going undefeated for the season. As every game goes on, the pressure, there's pressure there that's not about necessarily the teams you're playing, but it's like, can I keep this record alive? And I feel the Steelers just got what they needed to get done. You know, like, apart from a potential injury there to Juju Smith-Schuster, otherwise the Steelers just did exactly what they needed to do, not too many injuries, and they go forth. Now, obviously, there was this injury to Zach Gentry. I don't think that's going to change the Pittsburgh Steelers season. I don't think any listeners out there would. It's disappointing because we've seen a bit more of Gentry as well this year. But for me, it was the Steelers just went down to business and got it done. Like,
well, they ran the ball a lot better. Big Ben threw a lot of TDs. The defense got 4 interceptions. This is one of those games where, yeah, we played really awesome. And like, you're in their home turf. And I saw a comment on around the NFL, and a lot of analysts are saying this now. They're like, "Then the Steelers are the 10-0, and they're the worst 10-0 team," which I really don't understand. A lot of you fans out there don't understand that we are the worst 10-0. And even one of the Ravens fans today in the chat said that. And yet, if we're the worst 10-0 team, that beat you. That team beat you. So that means you're even worse than us. To my logic, if that makes any sense. No, like, it was a great game. I know we got all this stuff going on now with Lamar, but that was a really fun game to watch. Luton was never going to go anywhere. You know, let's just play them again.
You know what, Mark? You reminded me there of, like, you know, if we suck, you must suck more because, you know, we beat you. Reminds me of when I used to have glasses when I was in, like, primary school or, like, you know, elementary school. I think it was over there in the US, so, like, grades kindergarten 1 and 2. And I used to get called, like, Four Eyes. You know that classic, Taint Four Eyes? And I used to go, "Well, if I've got four eyes, then I could see better than you." And then people would be like,
"So it's positive."
Like, you know, and people couldn't, then you watch this, like, you know, 7 or 8 year old kid try and compute it, like, and they're just being completely stuffed. So yeah, totally know what you mean there.
You know what, Matty, I used to get Mark in the Dark. "Oh, you're Mark in the Dark." And I'm like, okay, that's a terrible, like, I knew that when I was 8 years old. They're like a terrible, put down, Mark in the Dark. And they're like, "Yeah, anything else you got?" That's what it feels like. You're the worst 10-0 team. Yeah, we won 10 games. What else do you want?
100%. Like, we didn't pick our schedule.
No.
Right? We haven't lost a divisional game. Well, we haven't lost a game. You know, we've beaten some really good teams. And, you know, actually, while we're looking at that, and before we get into the box score, I actually did after the Jacksonville game, I thought, let's have a look at where we're sitting. So I waited a couple of days for all the stats, and those out there know that I like Dave Schofield, really like my Pro Football Reference, and that's, they're really big for me in terms of where I get my stats. So currently, as of after the Jacksonville game, the Steelers are now fourth in the league for points for at 298, so 29.8 points per game. And they are first in the NFL for points against. So they've got the best defense in terms of points.
Can I stop you there, Matty? How good is that? So we get 29 and we don't let in 17.
We've averaged 29.8 points a game, and we've only allowed 17.4 points a game.
If that happens every single game, we go 16-0.
Ping, ping, ping. That's all, win.
That's such a high, Big Ben can't run the offense. He's only, you know, doing this and that. That's all false news right there. If coming fourth, he's playing fantastic. 29 points a game, it gives you an opportunity to, you know, win. And I think the defense can do even better than 17.
Less. Yeah. So let's go a little bit deeper into those numbers. So on offense, the Steelers this season have broken 30 points in 3 out of their 10 games, 30% of the time. And they have scored more than 25 points in 9 of those 10 games. Now, we think about how hard it was to score 25 points last year, right? That's just different. Mm-hmm. Big Ben, everyone sort of reckoned he might be. I remember in all the preview shows before the season started, before even we started podcasting, you know, I know it was about 2 to 4 points a game they thought Ben could be worth. Well, you know, Ben's worth being worth quite a bit more than that. Ben is currently fourth, tied for fifth in the NFL with 24 touchdowns. And only 5 interceptions, we've got a ratio there of almost 5 to 1, which is pretty good. Like, if you can get through a season on that, yeah, with Big Ben's history, that's pretty good. Equally, the Steelers now have three receivers with over 5, and there were wide receivers, actually, as I said there. They're three wide receivers with over 500 yards, and Ebron now has over 300 yards. Again, on offense, no player with more than 20 receptions has caught under 60% of their passes. So any player that has more than 20 receptions has caught more than 60% of their targets. Awesome catch rate there. Then, of the 4 players averaging more than 35 yards per game, which is Claypool, Juju, Deontay, and Ebron, who I said earlier,
yep,
3 of those in the wide receivers are averaging more than 55 yards per game, and these same 4 players have 4 or more receiving touchdowns. So, like, we talk about pick your poison on offense. The stats don't lie. You can't argue with numbers.
And they're just playing team ball, like I've been saying all year. And, like, I think a lot of stats come down to it. Like, you know, we're not getting the most yards on offense, but we're getting points and stuff like that. But we're having such great field position, because I know there's a few stats out there saying we're, like, I don't know what we are exactly, but we're mid-range, I think, for yards. But we're starting the field position a lot closer to the touchdown zone, with Ray and the defense, and if they're scoring points, I'm just starting to get this feeling that, like, we really got to get behind our team a little bit more. And I know a lot of you are. I'm not calling anyone out. I'm just saying, like, let's enjoy this ride and keep going, because when we do play the Ravens, whenever it happens, we'll be 11-0, and then we're going to Washington football team, and then we'll give them a bit of a run. And we've got to try and keep our team healthy. But yeah, there's a lot of naysayers out there that they see us as a target, and we're not the best team, and yada, 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 yada. But that doesn't matter. Like Tomlin says, we don't care. And like I said on the previous podcast, at the end of the day, at February, if we're holding that Lombardi, I'm going to be one of the happiest fans. And I know you will be too. And, you know, I know a lot of people on my Steelers Nation Australia site, I know a lot of people in the live chat will be happy. Yeah, it's just something that this year has been a little bit different without fans, but we just got to enjoy it, Maddie. No, I enjoy those stats. 29 and 17.
I've got more for you. I got a few more. Just indulge me, right? I didn't get through all the Dave StatGeek this week, all the Scobro shows, so just indulge me, right? And I'll say what I really love about these stats as well beforehand. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, that a lot of people are talking the Steelers are going to come up against the Kansas City Chiefs, all things being equal, in the playoffs, right? If they are, I want listeners to really think about the second point that I'm about to raise in the next 5 points of defensive stats. So point number one, the Steelers have conceded 30 points or more once this season and have only allowed 21 points or under in 7 out of 10 games. Now, I know most people would sit there and go, well, it should be 20 or under. That seems to be the benchmark. But the Steelers have allowed 21 points or under in 7 out of 10 games. And I think that off the top of my head, there was 3 games where they allowed 21 points. I think that's a fair benchmark of 21, because technically that's 3 touchdowns. So if you're allowing 3 touchdowns or less, but you can score 30 points, well, you know, you're gonna win the game every time, right? Pure maths. Point number two, and as I said, keep this in mind, because if the Steelers can get through most of the season at somewhere around this figure, it's going to be very interesting when they come up against a Patrick Mahomes or any other elite quarterback for that matter. The Steelers have allowed 300 yards or under in 50% of their matches for passing. So in half the games, the passing offense has not been able to break 300 yards. That is massive. That is massive for this defense. Equally, and I know the rush defense has been a bit sus, you know, in the last couple of weeks in points, and it was better last week, and it was better even more, like it was also getting to get better against the Bengals. We have allowed under 100 yards rushing in 6 out of 10 games. That's point number 3. So we've not allowed more than 100 yards in 6 out of 10 games. No team has passed. Sorry, the 300 yards earlier I should have said was for yes, definitely for offensive yards. Sorry, that was I made a mistake there. So the 300 yards are under 50% of matches is purely for offensive yards. No team, that's right. No team has passed for more than 300 yards in the Steelers, mm-hmm. and only one team has broken 250 yards, and that's the New York Giants in Week 1. Daniel Jones,
Danny Dimes.
So. Sorry, yeah, that's right. I knew this stuff was coming. So let's just go back. Let's rewind a little bit. No team has scored more than 300 yards through the air on the Steelers, and only one team has broken 250, which means that the Steelers have held teams to under 300 yards in 5 out of their 10 games. That is incredible in the National Football League in a very big passing league. And yes, we've played quarterbacks like Jeff Driscoll. We've played Danny Dimes, as you said. We played Joe Burrow and you know, Jake Luton, and we did play Tannehill, though. You know, we did play Baker Mayfield.
Don't forget Garrett Gilbert.
Garrett Gilbert.
He was the one I shot down a lot, and then he proved me wrong. And now the Red Rifles are going for him.
But at the end of the day, you can only beat the teams you're up against. And even in the NFL, that is an incredible stat. And then there's the headline stats we always talk about. 38 sacks through 10 games, 3.8 a game. 99 quarterback hits. They're almost averaging 10 quarterback hits per game. 68 tackles for a loss. 6.8 tackles for a loss per game. Like, you're going backwards if you're getting that one. Like, that's awesome. 53 pass defenses and 15 interceptions. If that's not where you want to be after 10 games, and you talk about being the worst 10-0 team, I'm sorry. They're incredible stats on defense.
I really think the way that it's portrayed with the media and how we get that worst 10-0 team is because we don't, like I said it before, we don't have any real drama. Tomlin has this team well coached. There's nothing really to talk about with the Steelers except the win. We're not America's team like the Cowboys. Imagine if the Cowboys were 10-0. They would be on every network and even a cooking show. They'd be everywhere. There'd be 10-0 here, 10-0 there. If the Patriots did it with Cam... and they really want the Chiefs to do it. And the Chiefs are just hanging on. They just beat the Raiders by, I think it was 4 points in the last second touchdown. And in some power rankings, I know these don't mean that much of a thought, but some power rankings were number 2. And I do not understand. Like, what if the Chiefs lose this week to the Bucks? The Bucks have been thrown out the window, got beat down 38-0 by the, I think it was the Saints or a score similar. Now, if the Bucs beat the Chiefs, will the Steelers be, and if the Steelers win this game, if they play it, and they're 11-0, will we get number one? We're just not getting talked about. And I've started to change my thought now. I think it's a good thing we're not getting talked about because the players are playing hard. They're playing for each other. They can probably sense that Super Bowl ring on their finger. They can sense the big paycheck. You know, the string guys can sense the Super Bowl. That's something they're a part of. Big Ben can sense it. This is something that, yeah, we're not going to go away, and we're going to fight hard each and every week. And I had one fan on the Australian site, not my Facebook page, but another one said to me, the Bills are coming up. I said to him, like Tomlin says, one game at a time, mate. And I got 4 likes out of that, but like, we just got to stick to the plan.
Well, that's it, Mark. It's about, you know, and we know it here in Australia as being Manly Seagulls fans, and we've talked about them on a couple of different podcasts, but it's about a siege mentality. You know, bring the players under one roof of this siege mentality where everyone's out to get the Steelers. Teams are not even sticking to the COVID protocol. Fine. We're going to go about our business. We're going to get it done. We're focused on the wins. We're focused on the victory. We know what the light is on top of the hill. We know what the buried treasure is that we're going after. And that's a Lombardi. And I think that's just the approach they're taking. But look, quick fire, 2 players on the Steelers that surprised you last week or that were standout performances, and 1 player from the Jaguars that you were actually pleasantly surprised by.
All right. Firstly, I'll go with Edmonds. Had a great game. 2 INTs. The second one where he almost got his shoulder outside of his, almost, you know, dislocated his shoulder. I wish he could have some bit of legs on him and start running it. What was the other question?
Who was the Jacksonville player that surprised you?
Jacksonville Jaguar player. Robinson played pretty well, and I think he got under 80 yards. So I think you get a point for our punch of the week. Mine went nowhere, which is cool. But yeah, Robinson played really well.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. For me, it was Minka Fitzpatrick again, just showed what he's worth. I mean, you stole Edmonds. I would all love to give it to Edmonds. And yeah, I agree with you. And I think Robinson did some key things. And I also like the receptions that he had as well. Like, he had two really key receptions at different points. So I thought he was pretty good there and backed it up. And congratulations to an undrafted running back getting over 1,000 yards in a season, and particularly only after 10 games. So big shout out to him there. But look, listeners, that wraps up part one, believe it or not. Join us for part two, because part two, we're going to get into whatever mess this is in terms of playing the Ravens or not playing the Ravens. I can't wait to join you then.